Mr. Kosick.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. I have an issue in front of you involving Illinois' standard of notice for the owner of premises in a motion for summary judgment situation. What standard was applied by the court against the plaintiff was to require that he show notice.
I have a trivial question. What is your client's name? The litigants in this case cannot agree on the name of the plaintiff.
I believe there was a misspelling in the state court, and that got transferred over and continued, I think, in the electronic docket.
So what is your client's name?
Torres, Alex Torres.
Spelled with an S or a Z?
Well, with a Z.
Thank you.
You hedged because your reply brief has S.
I believe that was done to match the electronic docket.
The plaintiff's name exists independently of the electronic docket.
True. But his real name is with a Z. In this particular case, when the motion for summary judgment was made, no evidence was presented by the defendant that they were entitled to judgment on the issue of notice.
What is your evidence of TGI's responsibility for the accident?
Well, the evidence that we had is that TGI Fridays admitted that they owned and controlled this particular premises and the Friar Hood itself. They also maintained it, and they admitted that in their answer to the complaint. The other particular evidence about this night was that this was the kitchen area. It's an area where the employees work and prepare food. It's an area where they were conducting an inventory and they were cleaning up afterwards. And these were all employees, and they had to, Mr. Torres and his partner had to wait until they were finished before they could come in and perform their particular maintenance task of cleaning the hood and the fans. There was no evidence, there was no affidavit, there was no deposition, anyone from TGI Fridays, that when they left, none of the globes were cracked or broken. So, in that particular respect, they failed to demonstrate that they had a clear right to judgment on the issue of whether or not a TGI employee could have been the one who broke it.
So your idea is that the likeliest explanation is that a TGI employee had damaged the globe?
Correct. That is the most probable explanation, and it's statistically happens frequently.
Could the globe have been damaged by the manufacturer, shipper, or something like that?
I suppose that's a possibility, but there's no evidence of that because
they've been doing this for a long time. There's no evidence of anything. Right.
Right. There's no evidence of when it was broken other than the conflicting.
Why couldn't the cracked globe have been there for a long time? It was harmless as long as it was just cracked. It wasn't until it broke. So why isn't it quite possible that it was damaged by the manufacturer?
If there was a defect in the globe, if it was damaged in shipping, if it was installed, cracked, or there was something wrong with the glass such that it cracked at a certain period of time, we know that it certainly wasn't prior to the last time, which would have been the month before, that Facilitech cleaned that hood because it wasn't noted on the prior inspection reports as having been cracked. So if in their operation,
is there a picture in the record?
There is no picture. There are no pictures.
Why are there no pictures? I don't understand it.
We did not have access to the location. After the plaintiff's injury, the globe was changed and repaired. and
pictures of the hood and what a globe looks like when it's correct, and then we can imagine what it looks like when it's broken.
Why do you say you don't have access?
Well, I mean, we cannot normally go into the kitchen area.
Certainly.
True. I guess.
You hire an expert and send him in with a camera in discovery. It's perfectly normal.
How do you present a case that involves critically dimensions and appearance and so on, and just describe it in words and not present pictures?
I don't know that pictures are that helpful.
Oh, really?
Because it's not about what it looks like. It's not about where the globe is. It's a question
of who was responsible for it. Because you say, well, a month earlier, certainly if it had been cracked, they would have noticed the crack. How do we know? You'd like to know, is this maybe it's a large bulb? Is it opaque? Or, you know, I mean, is it dark? Is it translucent or transparent? Could you have a tiny crack? You wouldn't notice.
If that were the case, that would be the burden of TGI Fridays to show.
No, it wouldn't. Where do you get that from?
Sure, because they would have to demonstrate.
You're representing the plaintiff.
Summary judgment. They have to demonstrate that it was not their fault.
No, they don't. Look, there are many possible sources of this disaster. So the shipper, the manufacturer, TGI. We'll settle with those three. You have to show it's more likely TGI than someone else. Now, one little piece of evidence you have is that the thing was inspected a month earlier. But I don't see anything about what one would expect an inspection to reveal about a crack in a globe.
They are trained to inspect for cracks or broken globes. It happens quite frequently, and they have to be careful of that because of their operation. They carry a supply of replacement globes. Depending on the size of the light bulb, they're anywhere from small baseball size to a little bit larger than Christmas lights.
And why is there this big concern about cracks in light bulbs?
Well, it's a light bulb covered by a glass globe. The glass globes protect the light bulbs from breaking in the normal use of the hood. It's like in a...
Well, wasn't the crack in the globe?
The globe itself was broken. There's no evidence it was cracked beforehand. There's no evidence that it was cracked but intact.
Now I'm lost. I thought it was cracked when Torres and his supervisor came on the scene.
That's what his coworker says. Torres says no. He never mentioned anything about that.
You say there is no evidence that something, when you admit that all the evidence in the record, except your own client's statement, is to that effect. Now, one can have a debate about the consequences of a particular division in the evidence, but it's very difficult to say there is no evidence that the globe was intact when your client arrived.
Okay, that's true, yes. I meant there was nothing that it was intact before they arrived. TGI has no inspection report that says, oh, we looked at this, it was fine.
One reason why they don't have an inspection report is because that was among your client's duties to inspect and see what it was like.
Well, but they had their own. That's what they were doing previously to their beginning the fryer hood. They do the entire kitchen area. That's what was taking place. And they had to wait until they inventoried and did what maintenance they were supposed to do. At this point, I think I'll reserve the rest of my time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Mr. Carlson.
May it please the court. Steve Carlson on behalf of TGI Fridays. First issue I'd like to address is burdens of production and a motion for summary judgment. Plaintiff suggests that it is TGI Fridays' burden in bringing this motion for summary judgment to put forth additional evidence, affidavits or depositions, that it was not aware of the broken globe, and two, it did not break the globe. And that's just not the burden of production in a motion for summary judgment. The Supreme Court in Cielo, Texas, held that the movement in for summary judgment can point to the record and demonstrate that there's a lack of evidence of an essential element to the plaintiff's claim. And that's what we've done here. We pointed to the record saying, and shown to the court and shown to the district court, that there's no evidence that TGI Fridays had any actual or constructive notice of this globe being broken.
Well, your opponent says that TGI does an inspection before the cleaners come in.
That's not true. What he's referring to is his own client's testimony that they were doing an inventory before the plaintiff and his supervisor went into the TGI Fridays restaurant to do their work. First of all, it's pure speculation as to what they were doing, because the plaintiff and his partner were outside in a car. They don't know what was going on in the TGI Fridays store. And two, the way he described...
Surely somebody asked during the course of this case.
I'm sorry?
Somebody present. If you want to know what was going on, somebody must have presented an affidavit, and there must have been some deposition testimony.
There was not
Are
one...
Are you saying there was none, that the plaintiff never asked what was going on inside, and you didn't either?
There's not one single deposition taken of a single TGI Fridays employee from this restaurant. The only evidence that there of what was going on in the TGI Fridays before the plaintiff went in there is the plaintiff's own speculation. So we don't know what was going on in there.
But I don't... I suppose I can understand the statement, the record does not reveal it. A statement by the lawyer for TGI Fridays that we don't know what was going on strikes me as implausible.
Well, maybe I should state it this way. There is no evidence in the record of what was going on.
Right. I can sort of understand that, and you then rely on the fact that the plaintiff has the burden of proof. But the statement you're actually making suggests that TGI Fridays hasn't a clue what's going on in its own kitchens.
And I'm sorry if I misspoke. What I am saying is that there is no evidence, because the plaintiff never took a single deposition of a TGI Fridays employee. There's no evidence of what
and
was going
on. You didn't introduce any either.
It's not our burden in this case to come forth with evidence.
Often, however, defendants in litigation do produce evidence that tends to help them.
Correct, and in this case, we didn't need...
We assume the evidence doesn't help you.
Correct, but in this case, we didn't need to. We've met our burden of production in summary judgment.
But, so Torres testified that that the globe was broken. Did he stuck his hand in and it was already broken? He didn't break it. It wasn't just cracked and broke when he touched it. Is that what he testified?
What he testified to is that he stuck his hand up there, felt a pinch, and I don't think that he ever testified that it actually was broken. I think that was kind of he assumed that it was broken, and that's what cut him.
But it could have been cracked, and he broke it with his hand. Is that what you're saying?
TGI Friday's position is the best evidence of what happened to this globe in this case is we took the plaintiff's partner's deposition.
Well, that's a separate issue. That's a separate issue. You can't resolve the dispute on summary judgment between Torres and the supervisor.
Right, and that's what the district court found in my argument at the trial court level, that this was a superseding cause of the accident, that it was actually Mr. Stewart who broke the globe, and therefore that was a superseding cause to the plaintiff's injury. And that the court resolved that and found an issue of fact.
Right, so let's forget about it.
Right, so now we're here to talk about that. The plaintiff has, under Illinois law, the plaintiff must present evidence of actual or constructive notice of a dangerous or defective condition on the property. The only way a plaintiff doesn't have to prove a dangerous condition on a property is if if there's further evidence that it was caused or created by the defendant. But backtracking just a second, that doctrine should not apply in this case because the plaintiff's sole theory is premises liability. He alleges in his complaint that it's pure premises liability. He doesn't allege in his complaint that we caused this condition. He doesn't allege in the complaint that we broke this globe. It's a pure premises liability case, and the Illinois courts have found that in pure premises liability case, you don't apply this Donahoe doctrine, which I'm talking about right now, and they have to find actual or constructive notice.
Which doctrine?
It's a Supreme Court decision in Donahoe.
Well, what is it?
It found that a plaintiff does not have to prove actual or constructive notice if there is further evidence from which it can be inferred that the defendant caused the condition that caused the harm.
Right.
Well,
sensible.
And the problem is that this argument wasn't made at the trial court level, this court should deem it waived. Just wasn't in plaintiff's response brief. And in this case, now it shouldn't even be applied in this matter at all because this case is pure premises liability. And the Illinois courts hold that the Donahoe Doctrine does not apply in pure premises liability cases.
That's a lot of verbiage. I don't know what you're talking about. If they knew that the globe was broken and that it was a concealed danger, then they'd be liable.
Right. If there was evidence that we knew, we would be liable, but there is no evidence.
And if you regularly inspected under the hood, well, then you would have known.
Well, there would have to be some sort of testimony or evidence that we did regularly inspect under the hood, and how often, how frequently, and there's just none in this case. And so we're left with, there's absolutely...
But if the globe was actually broken in pieces, wouldn't your employees have noticed the little pieces of glass?
I'm just speculating. You would assume so.
Especially when they show up in the customer's food, since this is a cooking hood. Presumably, if it breaks, the next place is somebody's mouth.
Right, and that goes to the absence of notice. There's no testimony, evidence that anybody found any broken glass or anything like that. In this case, there's just no evidence that there's actual constructive notice, and there's no evidence that anybody from TGI Fridays. Broke this globe. If there's no further questions, I think I'm finished.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anything further, counsel?
I do have to say a couple other things. Number one, I addressed the issue of waiver. It was clearly the issue was brought up by the trial court. It mentioned it in footnote number 3 specifically.
What basis do you have for thinking that TGI assumed some duty of inspection, you know, to protect your people and so on, and didn't fulfill it?
Well, I believe TGI Fridays has a duty to keep its premises reasonably safe, the general duty of all premises owners to keep their premises reasonably safe for the people who have to be on there. They hired these people to come in and do this. They know
true.
That they're
they
up there.
They knew there was some hidden menace. They had a duty to warn. But what is the what is the evidence that they knew about? For all we know, isn't it true that Torres may have poked the globe and it was cracked and so on, so it broke?
No, the evidence as to what happened is that Torres was up in the hood and leaned on the side, and his arm was cut immediately. There was
if he broke it, his arm would be cut immediately.
I don't think so. It's a round globe. If he had leaned on it and it broke,
but it's
then
cracked.
He would have heard it. He would have heard the glass.
Suppose it's cracked.
His testimony is it was already broken, and that when
did he know? He didn't see it.
Well, he didn't see it, but he also didn't knock any glass off of there. He would have heard the glass fall.
Well,
it would have fallen.
He has this terrible wound. He's not going to be worrying about glass falling.
Well, no more so than TGI Fridays should
be. I don't understand why you didn't depose the defendants.
Well, the reason is that the people who were there at the time no longer worked for them, and the defendant advised me that they would not be called to testify. they live out of state and had no knowledge. So that was what it was. But Torres testified from his own observations.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Case is taken under advisement. Court will be in recess until next week.